Back here on WREF, Refs Calling, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. It is OVC Media Day, which means that we are right around the corner from basketball season. USI men's basketball head coach Stan Girard is here on the Ref. Coach, really, really appreciate your time. I know that we have, 3 weeks, give or take, until the start of the season, about 2 weeks until the first Stan Girard radio show right here on WREF at Spanky's, which means that we're running out of time. How do you feel about that? Are you panicking like I am? Because I woke up one morning and it was right around the corner.
I use the same. Never let them see you sweat, Brad. No, man, I'm not panicking. It's early. This is year 26 or 25 for me doing this. And the worst thing you can do right now is go into panic mode. I think for me, it's having a little more patience. If I can change one thing about myself, it's patience, because oftentimes I do want to speed the process up, you know. But I have to understand that I have 12 new players. We lost a lot of points from a year ago. And so we have to have patience. So what we're trying to do right now is just instill, you know, some toughness in our team, some discipline, some unity. And I think if we can instill those things, I think the rest will fall in place.
You know, we met each of your new players, the 12 newcomers, in our interview series over the summer on WREF, and that was great. And they're all really impressive young men. It seemed like they're all going to be impact players for you. But only five of them can start. I know that you don't have a starting lineup right now. There are a lot of guards that want to start, that have an opportunity to start. Take K.K. Brown and Sheridan Sharp, for example. Both of them seem to be fairly similar as far as roles that they could play. Where is the position battle right now between K.K. Brown and Sheridan Sharp?
It's a battle. And honestly, we've been playing those two guys in practice lately together. K.K.'s a really good shooter. He does a wonderful job of playing out the basketball. I think he moves better than anybody on the team in terms of change of speed, change of pace. Sheridan is more of a downhill dog. Doesn't shoot the three as much or as well as KK, but he's a 6'2 point guard that's really good around the rim. And those two guys have been very good together, kind of like the Michael Irving and a Tony Romo back in the day, man. I mean, just two good guys that's connecting, and I'm bringing my Cowboys up. You heard of me. But just trying to get those guys to play as one. You know, we have to look at some different combinations, of course. Trey Smith has joined that group a little bit. Hasn't gelled as well because he's more ball dominant, but KK and Sheridan does a good job of wavering so that Trey can do his thing but also make the right play to get those guys the ball.
Yeah, I know Trey's going to be a really big piece for this team by way of scoring. And talk about the backcourt, I also want to ask you about the frontcourt, right? You guys have a few different options there. I know that Ola Ajiboye has not only D1, but OVC experience coming from Tennessee Tech. You have Devin Curtis coming from the ACC in Cal. He's your tallest player. And Tolu Samuel's a bit of a wild card, right? 6'8", 6'9", maybe. JUCO player, the only JUCO kid that you guys have. And in the past, you've invested heavily in junior college. Only two of them can start, you would think. What does that look like, that position battle in the front court?
I think the biggest thing for us is getting experienced guys who's been at this level. You know, Devin didn't play a lot of minutes last year at Cal, but he's played against some great players when he was at Cal and saw the ACC play rather from a different lens. You know, Ola, he's a journeyman, man. He played in the MVC, the OVC, and I forgot the other league. Was it the Horizon League?
I think it was the MAC. He was at Central Michigan, right?
CMU, yes. But he's been around, you know. He's a quiet guy. I wish he'd talk more. I've been challenging him, but he's a hard hat type of guy that comes in, does his job, and just doesn't say much. But when he does speak, it's respectful coming from him, and guys understand it. But he just works hard. Tolu came from a great program in Triton, a winning program. So he's bringing his winning ways to practice every single day. He works harder than any one of those three guys we're talking about. We have some guys that can protect the rim. You know, that's what those three guys do well. They rebounded very well, especially Tolu and Ola. Devin's a face-up guy. He wants to get in the perimeter and stretch the floor a little bit, you know, especially at his mid-range. You know, right now, we like I said, we have a scrimmage tomorrow. I got some lines I want to see, but we still battling for those positions right now. I think I have an idea. Well, I do have an idea, rather, of who I want to start, who I want to play. But all these guys, they have to understand that, you know, we can start with five and end with a different five. And they have to trust the process and understand that the roles that we talked about 2 months ago with this team, they got to stick to that, you know, until they can find a different niche. They want a different role. We know who, right now who our guys, we're going to depend on to score the ball. We know who's going to be the physical force inside for us. We know who the guy is right now that's going to break down the offense in terms of late shot clock. We have those things in place. Now we have to trust it and let it all come together.
Going back to the guards, where does Ismael Habib fit in all this? Because I know that Sharp has looked great. I know that Brown has looked great. And Habib, he's got probably more D1 experience than the two of them combined. And he comes in as a senior trying to prove something. What is his role on this team, and where do you see him right now?
He's been great. He's a combo guard. He's finally turned the corner. You know, he started off really good for us. And then I'd say about late September, early October, he hit a brick wall for about 2 or 3 weeks. The past 3-4 days, Brad, he is different gear, different mindset. And I think with him, it's mind over matter right now. He has a ton of experience, has a great feel for the game, and know what it takes to help us level up, to be competitive. And I just need more of him. From a leadership standpoint, consistency in practice, consistency with his talks, because he does have leadership ability. And I think once he does that, you'll see him possibly slide into that role if he earns it. Now, you can't forget about Braxton Jones. I think I had a great conversation with Braxton in our roles meeting, and I challenged Braxton, and he's responded in a positive way. He has came out, and we had this conversation just last week, Braxton and I. He's came out and really took our conversation to heart and did the things I asked him to do. And he'll be in the rotation if he keeps trending in the right direction. Because, you know, I hope you don't mind me saying this. I told him he was low in the depth chart. And I also gave him a plan. You know, I wasn't just giving him a problem. I gave him a plan to move himself up. And a lot of credit goes to Braxton for taking that plan and not taking it personal. It was a reality check for him. And he's came in since then and really turned it up on both sides of the basketball for us.
Now, Braxton started a couple of games for you guys last year, but there were moments where he came in and he was making some shots, but there were other moments where if those shots weren't falling, he tapered off a little bit. Yeah. So how do you get him to be productive if the shots just aren't falling on that day? Everyone's going to have days like that. So when he has days like that this year, what do you need to do as a coach, and what does he need to do as a player to be productive on the floor?
Well, I can't take his confidence away, first of all. I got to continue to instill in his brain that you got to have the next shot mentality. You know, I don't want him to get in the game and always looking over his shoulder. He has to have a strong mind with that next shot mentality play. But if you're not making shots, get to the basket, get to the free throw line, get into a rhythm. I think that's one. Number two is impacting the game without scoring. If you're not scoring, you're not making shots, and you want to be on the court, defend, rebound, and lead. You know, he has the most experience. He and Josiah Dunham has the most experience on his basketball club with those guys being returners. He's got to take full advantage of that, and I think he has since our meeting.
Where you see Braxton at the point guard this year? I know we saw him at times playing point guard. Is he a one? Is he a two this year? What does that look like?
He can play both guard spots. You know, I know he's been jockeying to move over to the one spot more, and last week he's done that. He's all of those guys, Braxton, Ish, and K.K. Brown, they can play on and off the basketball, and it's so great to put them all together because any one of those three guys can bring the ball up. I think Braxton has done a good job of playing the point because he knows plays. You know, we haven't changed much from a year ago from an offensive play standpoint. So he does a good job when he is out there of getting guys in the right spot. So, yeah, you'll see him at both those spots throughout the season.
I got to ask you about Trey Thomas, right? The first ever D1 all-conference transfer in program history, major get for you guys, 17 points per game in the SWAC. At Bethune-Cookman, is there such thing as a bad shot for Trey Thomas? Because I've never seen someone make so many bad shots in my life when I'm at practice.
It's funny you say that, man. And the coaching staff and I, we always talk about him every day because he's a bad shot taker.
I know.
But he's a bad shot maker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can't get used to – I'm too old school for some of these guys because I can't get used to guys driving it and shooting one-foot fadeaways. It just drives me insane. But he makes those shots. And I just hope he continues to trend in the right direction in making those shots, but also taking less of those kind of shots, because it's not that hard. You know, oftentimes he gets in his brain that he can conquer the world and take on five players. And that's not how we're going to play. And we had multiple conversations about him just understanding his team and trusting his team more. And we're not there yet, but hopefully he'll get it at some point, because we have some other guys that can do some of the things he do, just not as hard, you know what I mean? And he struggles with that. You know, when he was at Bethune a year ago, you know, watching him play, they were a struggling team, and he just scored a basketball for them. And we need him to play within the team concepts. He's doing a better job of it, trust me. But oftentimes he get out of pocket sometimes, because he can make some tough shots. You know, you need one of those guys every once in a while, but he's got to trust the process, and I think he's doing a better job of it. And it's going to take some healthy conversations, some long film sessions, and us trusting each other to understand what the common goal is versus individual.
Last year it was Harrison, Milkey, and Randall as the captains. Have you named captains for this year?
Mentally, I have. Mm-hmm. Our guys don't know that yet, because we had some guys in mind a few weeks ago, and they kind of lost that position. And I have some guys in mind, and I'm going to talk that today or tomorrow before we play in our scrimmage. But and I think our guys kind of know, because you can see in player meetings or player huddles who's doing the most talking. And I'm not going to base my captain on who can score. I'm going to base my captain on guys like Milky a year ago, who's going to sacrifice for the team, not afraid to hold guys accountable, but also push themselves to a high level. That's what the captain's all about in my eyes.
Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a really exciting time, because we're right around the corner, but can't wait for November 5th against Butler, and we'll see you on the court.
Thank you.
All right, we take a step aside. Don't go anywhere. This is The Refs Calling, driven by D. Patrick Nissan.